11 o'clock.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Smart Marketing for Small Business, the show where we help you outthink, outsmart, outmaneuver, outflank your competition without outspending them. My name is Leslie Wolf. I am your host of your show, and I am CEO of the Smart Marketing Group in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And we try to kind of stimulate one's imagination a little. And we're going to take an unusual approach tonight, but I will discuss that in a moment. One of the things that we do offer for you to kind of stimulate your brain is to go to our LinkedIn groups, one which is entitled Smart Marketing for Small Business. Excuse me. Second one is called Creative Thinkers Forum. The idea is to get one to think creatively, think outside the box. I want to touch on creative thinking tonight. And then there is Celebrities for Marketing, the idea of how you can use celebrities, how you have used celebrities, celebrities that you might wish to use, and a whole kind of outside the normal thinking on the use of celebrities, and how even with a tight budget you can arrange to do something with a celebrity tint to it. And then comes my favorite area, fearless marketers. And that's for those of you who are willing to step outside the comfort zone and your comfort zone and be open-minded to looking at other opportunities that might be out there. And, you know, one of the reasons that I talk about being open-minded relates to the principle I have as one of the four principles of smart marketing. If you're open-minded, you're open to change. And as it is a constant, as is your competition's resistance to it, is probable. And that gives you an edge. And that's what we're always trying to do, is give you an edge in the marketplace. Another way for you to get that edge is to communicate with us the things that are of interest to you, topics you'd like to see us cover, subject matter that is important to you. And you can do that by going to our email address, Marketing Smartly, S-M-A-R-T-L-Y, Marketing Smartly, at AOL.com. And one of the things, if you have stories to share, if you have experience and expertise that you're willing to share, perhaps you'd like to be a guest on our show. So again, you go to marketingsmartly at AOL.com. You can also contribute and participate in our blog, smartmarketingmoves.com. Visit our website, smartmarketinggroup.com. There's a lot of things that we could be doing. But, you know, the key is we want you to have success. And take a quote from Jim Rohn, a well-known businessman. Success is neither magical nor mysterious. Success is the natural consequence of consistently applying the basic fundamentals. And tonight we're going to talk about the fundamentals. We're going to talk about some things. Well, let me kind of give you a little story. I'm in the process of moving our offices, and I happened to start to pack some books from the library that I have. And all of a sudden, I realized there were some fascinating books that had incredible topics, and we're going to cover some of those tonight. But what caught my attention in particular was a book published in 1949. I was only a little boy at that stage, called Your Creative Power. And what caught my attention, it was a book given to my father by Alex Osborne. Alex Osborne was the O in BBDO, Batten, Barton, Dunstein, and Osborne, one of the largest, most successful ad agencies in New York and practically in the world. And his book was entitled Your Creative Power, How to Use Imagination. So what we're going to do is we're going to go not just through his book, but several books that I've identified over the years that have been in my library where the basic principles, the fundamentals of what are stated in those books are still powerful today. And they're still on target today. Even with a world of high technology, fundamentals don't change. Fundamentals are key to the success of a business. And in particular in the marketing area, the principles of marketing, the techniques might change, the technology might change, but the fundamentals don't. In fact, to use another quote from Michael Jordan, he said, "When I was young, I had to learn the fundamentals of basketball. You can have all the physical ability in the world, but you still have to know the fundamentals." And that's the same as the whether you have four college degrees, 20 years experience, you need to have an understanding of the fundamentals. So that's what we're going to focus on tonight. And I hope you have your iPad, notepad, whatever, out there, because I think there's some things here that would be interesting to you. I'm also going to tell you about the books, who published them and dated the date they were trademarked or copyrighted. You might want to see whether or not via Amazon or someone else these books might be available. So the first one we're going to look at is called Your Creative Power, How to Use Imagination by Alex Osborne, published in 1949. By Charles Scribner, S-C-R-I-B-N-E-R-S, Charles Scribner's Sons, New York. So it might be worth writing that down, and if you haven't gotten it straight, email me and I'll send it to you. All right, what we're going to talk about is some of the key. We're not going to cover, you know, hundreds of pages of books. I want to cover a couple of key points that today I think are very important more than ever before, especially in what is becoming an increasingly cluttered and competitive environment. You know, so we need to use our imagination, but we need to also understand that our mind process, the thinking mind, is basically mainly a twofold process. One is a judicial mind, which analyzes, compares, and chooses. But there's a second aspect, the creative mind, which visualizes, foresees, and generates ideas. And these two funds work best together. Judgment keeps imagination on the track. Imagination not only opens ways to action, but also can enlighten judgment. You know, you can do much to improve your judicial mind. Now, you went to school, you read history, you studied logic, you learned mathematics, you debated, you deliberated, you weighed pros and cons. But what steps did you take conscientiously to improve your creative mind? Now, isn't the fact that except when forced by circumstances, most of us don't even try to use our creative minds? Well, that is something that we need to get you thinking about. You know, the fact is, how can you be more conscious? We want to make you more conscious of the creative power within your reach, because there is a lot that you are capable of doing. All right, you know, one of the, every day, well, here's the thing for the book, I think might be even better stated than what I was going to say. You know, every day, several million young people resign themselves to the sterile drudgery by thoughtlessly ignoring or blandly defaulting the marvelous faculty of imagination. And the most valuable motto these people should have is, use your imagination. You know, creative power can bring progress to any phase of business. and especially in salesmanship, because that's what business is about, making sales. You know, a salesman is like a football player. He has to take his signals, excuse me, as given, and follow them out stride by stride. But once he gets the ball up to the line, the rest is up to his ingenuity. So the key to it is you got to use your mind, you got to be creative, and you think about it for a moment. What is the best type of selling? The best type of selling is helpful selling. Do you think, you've heard me talk often about the WIIFM factor. What's in it for me? People buy benefits, not features. So one of the techniques you have to work on and is how can you be a helpful seller? And this, to be a helpful seller requires you to use your imagination. It calls for ideas. It calls for outside-the-box thinking. And it is something that is often overlooked. Basically, when you're resourceful, it can turn, quote, a peddler into a star. Our creative power is promptly reflected in our income. In other phases of business, there are too many immediate incentives for ideas. So the key to it is you need to be creative. All right. In fact, I was in this book written in 1949. The National Biscuit Company, now known as Nabisco, they offered money prizes to their 28,000 employees for their ideas. And they got those ideas. And they awarded them, in those days, $2,500 went to some of the best ideas. Doesn't seem like a lot of money, but put it in today's figures, 60-some years later, 70-some years later. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. But, the real reward of creative effort is not the occasional prize, but the steady climb, the greater likelihood of advancement. Because more and more promotions are based on demonstrated creativity. You need to be creative. All right. Let's go on to another point. Whenever men, and this is for women as well, are held back by laziness or lack of confidence, fail to realize they have Aladdin lamps, and by rubbing them, they can light their way towards a much brighter life. And that's where creativity comes in, imagination. The many forms of imagination fall into really two broad classes. One consists essentially of the kinds which run themselves and sometimes run away from us. The other class is made up of the kinds we can run, which we can drive, if and when we will. The first group, it's the non-creative group. The second is the creative. The non-creative includes uncontrollable and unhealthy norms, such as delusions of grandeur, persecution complexes, and go on and on. Now, the key to the fact is creative people have a very positive mind, positive attitude. It was like in a discussion I was in the other day. We're talking about what keeps people moving forward. And there's a wonderful statement, and I referred to it. It was attitude, but attitude determines the altitude to which one reaches. And that is something that is very important. All right. And, there's also a thing called anticipative imagination. It's the instinct that keeps you from touching a hot live coal. But all guessing calls for anticipated imagination. Most of us have an idea of which way the cat will jump. The enjoyment in this form of imagination is what makes horse races generate millions. Now, but carried to extremes, anticipative imagination can be more than passive. It can be active. It's the border on the creative. And that is one of the things that you want to think about. It is important to be creative. It is important to let your resistance to being creative. Don't worry about being foolish, putting forth an idea that you're afraid to because you're going to be foolish. Like everything else, practice makes perfect. And the more you practice creativity, the better you're going to get at it. And the more respect you're going to get for it as well. So that, firsthand experience obviously provides the richest fuel for creative power. And it's more apt to stay with us and to well up when needed. Secondhand experience, such as superficial reading, listening, or spectating, gives us a thinner fuel. But the key to it, whatever you do, you want to be as creative and as imaginative as possible. All right, as I'm going to repeat that book that my father got in 1949. And if you're figuring how old I am, I was 11 years old. I'll let you try to figure that out. Entitled Your Creative Power, How to Use Imagination by Alex Osborne, one of the geniuses of advertising back in those days. So that's something that I think you could look at. But to help you, in addition to our LinkedIn groups, one of the things that we offer, and in particular I offer, is to come out and basically create an interactive dialogue-tation with your employees, your clients, even your vendors and your customers. Now, the key to it is we develop programs, what we call the Smart Marketing Workshops. They are interactive dialogue programs designed to benefit your audience and you. And if you're interested, email me at marketingsmartly@aol.com. Okay. Now I'm going to take a book that was written in 1979. And that book was called Working Smart, Accomplish More in Half the Time. And it is written by a gentleman named Michael LeBeouf, LeBeouf. And let's see who the publisher was on this book, so it might help you track it down. McGraw-Hill, McGraw-Hill Book Company. How to Accomplish More in Half the Time. Working Smart is the title of the book. And certainly worth it for you to examine it, take a look at it. But let's take something out of it for tonight's show and see where we can put that to your advantage. All right, here's some pointers that come out of the book that kind of sum up as to whether you're working smart. So I'm going to ask you some questions. You think about this. Do you focus on results? Because effective people know it's more important to do the right job than to do the job right. Are you willing to invest the work to get what you want out of life? Sometimes effectiveness means investing time and effort in projects whose rewards are in the distant future. But however, effective people never underestimate the importance of enjoying today. While they are future-oriented, they also have the common sense to realize there's no incompatibility between enjoying today and building for a better tomorrow. The two ideas are viewed as complementary to each other. Have you ever searched your brain for any work tapes you may be playing? Ernest Hemingway once said, the most essential gift for a good writer is a built-in shockproof Let me use this shockproof crap detector. It's not the word to use, but let's keep it clean. It's also a necessary talent for those who want to avoid frustration and fatigue. Many of the dogmatic messages we've been taught about work are partial truths at best. When someone successful tells you how hard he worked or she worked, realize that one seldom asks a failure how hard he worked or she worked. Sweat, activity, efficiency, hours, and pressure are not linked to accomplishments in a predictable fashion. Every job is a unique one. It requires various combinations of blood, sweat, tears, time, and intelligence in order to be successful. You know, remember that effectiveness is more of an art than a science, and constantly practice refining your skills. Another question, have you set your own goals and accepted total responsibility for achieving them? You know, goals are necessary for your happiness as well as being the vehicle that enables you to concentrate your time, your energy. Now, you need to, you know, it's like having a road map. The key to it is, are you headed in the right direction? Do you know where you're headed? And important. All right. Do you try to solve problems in a simple, rational way? You know, effective people sometimes appear to live a carefree, charmed existence, but the fact is they, like everyone else, encounter their share of life's problems. But the difference between these people and others is that effective people realize that the number and severity of problems they have aren't as important as the way in which they are handled. Think about that. Not as important as the way they are handled. They realize that becoming emotionally involved in a problem only lessens the chance of finding a satisfactory solution. You got to keep your cool. Another question. Do you distinguish between urgent problems and important ones? Now, the tyranny of the urgent can wreck your effectiveness if allowed to reign unchecked. Remember, urgent things are seldom important, and important things are seldom urgent. I think I'm going to say that to you again. You know, and that is, remember, urgent things are seldom important, and important things are seldom urgent. Have you accounted for your use of time? That's another point. Most time, how can I best say it? Most time use is a habit, and we don't know how to spend our time until we try to keep track of it. So even with all the technology today, it doesn't hurt to have some form of time log that can periodically help you uncover and eliminate unproductive habits. Another thing, do you keep a loose schedule? A good rule of thumb is never to schedule more than 50% of your day. And why? Because Murphy's Law, you know, meaning if something can go wrong, it will, can play havoc with very tight schedules. Expect the unexpected. You know, schedule your most important tasks for prime time, the time when you work your best. And also set aside a period of each day for reflecting on who you are and what your goals are. Look for ways that make multiple use of time that has already been committed. All right, another point to think about. Do you know what not to do? Effectiveness doesn't result from doing more. It's a product of doing less better. So this is a key point for you to think about. Now, before tackling a job, do you ask yourself, is this the best use of my time and energy? Are you a workaholic? You know, accept the fact that time away from a job is a necessary stimulus for greater creativity, satisfaction, and effectiveness in the job. Do you have a sound self-image of yourself? Do you know who you are? You know, accept yourself unconditionally. You know, it's a key to peace of mind, and very bluntly, a peaceful mind is a more effective one. Do you put your own needs first? You can't help the poor by becoming one of them. You know, believe it or not, effective people are positively selfish. But they refuse to be martyrs or self-sacrificers, but they give themselves when it's something meaningful to give. And that's important because that helps them be more abundant, effective, and oriented, helping others to help themselves. Do you accept responsibility for your own feelings? Do you believe that you, like everyone else, make your own sunshine? These are questions that you need to be looking at. Are you working smart? You know, do you build on your strengths? Are you aware of being a perfectionist can cripple effectiveness? Now, let's see, what else can I tell you? Do you have the courage to act and commit yourself to calculated risk-taking? And these are some of the points that I think are worth, looking at. So the book is called Working Smart, How to Accomplish More in Half the Time by Michael Leboeuf. And I believe I said it was a McGraw-Hill publication. Yep. And it was published in 1979. So again, check out the library, which, by the way, if you don't have what is, in my mind, the most priceless membership card in the world, and it costs nothing, get a library card. Use your public library. They will help you find books, including the out-of-print books, and they will help you move to the next step. All right. There's another book I ran across when I was moving things around called The First 5 Minutes, The Successful Opening Moves in Business, Sales, and Interviews. But before we get into that, I'm going to take 1 minute, or probably less than that, just to remind you that we have the blog, Smart Marketing Moves. We have the 4 LinkedIn groups. We have Smart Marketing Group website. Our email address is marketingsmartly@aol.com. We are open to anything that will enhance your career, your business, your profitability. You let us know what is of interest to you. Let us know what you want covered, because the whole purpose here is to stimulate your imagination. And that's one of the reasons I'm going through these books, because as I went packing up these books and I saw these I hadn't read in a couple of years, and I was going through them for tonight's program, they're basically just as on target today as they were 40, 50, 20, 10 years ago, whatever. They were worth looking at. All right. I'll just hit on a couple of other things I think are important. And, all right, the first 5 minutes when you meet somebody for a business meeting is a crucial time for both of you. You know, by this time the second hand has traveled 5 times around your wristwatch, 2 things will have happened. You will have decided exactly how much you trust or distrust this business acquaintance. And that person will have decided exactly how much he or she trusts or distrusts you. It is key for you to understand that you set the tone of everything in the first 5 minutes, if not a lot less. So this is something that you need to think about. All right, we're going to run out of time, so I'll tell you the first 5 minutes. Is a book by Norman King, and it is something that you can check into. Publisher is Prentice Hall, and there's a lot in there, the books that just can make your life so much better, your business life, your personal life. The key to it is having an open mind. Be willing to think outside the box. And what I always talk about, the 4 principles of smart marketing, be open to change, as we said before. Think big, because big ideas have more potential and can be trimmed. Small ideas don't tend to lead themselves to growth. Think wild and outside the box, otherwise you'll never get a big idea. And then don't talk about it, do it. And one of the things I want you to do is tell people about this show every Wednesday night at 11 o'clock on Blog Talk Radio. Spread the word. I appreciate it, because the key to it is the more people that we have listening to the show, the more feedback we get, the more that we tailor the programming to benefit you. And that's really our goal, to benefit you, make you more successful. Thank you. I wish you the very best. God bless you. Take care.